But first, last year there was an outbreak of tuberculosis in the maternity ward at Summerlin Hospital. Staff misdiagnosed the disease or missed it because it is relatively rare. Many had not seen the symptoms before and it was not on their radar. But the disease is becoming more prevalent and it's becoming more drug resistant. Polly Price recently warned that action was needed. She is a law professor at Emory University in Atlanta, and she joins us now. Polly Price, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
You wrote in the New York Times that we've been lucky with tuberculosis. Most people probably think that it's a rare disease usually brought in by foreign travelers. What did you mean when you said lucky?
What I mean is that we have a very fragile infrastructure for public health control in the United States generally. And this is not to say that a criticism of the public health professionals. We have outstanding public health professionals. But we have a system of health control measures that are very difficult for the public health authorities to work with. Public health law should not hinder these professionals. It should help them. And unfortunately, with tuberculosis control, there are a number of ways in which we handicap our health workers in trying to address this problem.
So why are local governments unable to deal with tuberculosis?
In the United States, public health authority is at the state and local level. And so this is very different from the way public health might be addressed in some other countries. So when you have a situation in which a migrant or a newly released prisoner or someone who has, that we know has tuberculosis, is in one jurisdiction, it's that health authority's responsibility to take care of their tuberculosis treatment and order any isolation that might be necessary. But if that person moves to the next county, then we may be starting the system all over again. We've got to have one health authority contact them in another state. And sometimes this just becomes a very difficult thing for public health workers to do.
So as public health workers try to chase all this down from place to place, what to your way of thinking needs to be done?
I think that we should have an easier system of payment, transfer and payment. In other words, if it is no longer simply a local burden on resources, that we have greater authority, more national involvement in terms of both treatment resources and the ability to track and hand off patients that are moving from one jurisdiction to another.
In the Summerlin case that I mentioned, it seemed as though the doctors and nurses were so unfamiliar with the disease that they completely missed it. Is that a part of the problem?
Well, it's difficult. It's a difficult disease to treat, but it is certainly difficult to diagnose. And to prevent the spread of the disease, that's the key. Early detection is the key. And just based on what I know about this situation, it seems to me that the most troubling aspect of this situation is that a pregnant mother did not have, apparently, access to basic health care so that this wasn't diagnosed even before getting to the hospital.
So when did tuberculosis drop off the radar of medical professionals?
In the United States, it has dropped off the radar because really our rates have been under control for a number of years. They've been declining for a number of years. We have a fabulous division of tuberculosis control with the Centers for Disease Control here in Atlanta, the National TB Controllers Association. The problem now is that the drug-resistant varieties create a lot of pressures on this system because, for obvious reasons, we want to contain the spread of drug-resistant tuberculosis. That is on the rise worldwide. Some countries have it at an epidemic level. And so far, we've not seen that in the United States, but the infrastructure is weak in terms of preventing the rise of that here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say in your piece in the Times that we need to spend $1.3 billion or so to fix the problem. What is that amount going to pay for?
Well, that amount, $1.3 billion, is an estimate just of the treatment costs in the next 10 years. So even if we do nothing to change the system, we're going to have to pay at least that much if we are providing treatment to persons who have tuberculosis. And that's if the rates remain the same. So that figure, I was pointing out that we have to pay it one way or another. And the situation at this point is that that burden falls on state and local health departments, some very disproportionately. Perhaps that will end up being the case in Las Vegas with any exposures, you know, that are identified from this particular incident. But the cost is there, and it shouldn't be borne by county, local, state health departments, in my view, because they're not politically funded to do that. Mm.
There was a time for some of us within our lifetimes where people with tuberculosis would be isolated or sent to sanitariums because the disease was so infectious. What should we be doing now?
Isolation is still the first priority of public health workers once they have identified a case of active tuberculosis. The public health law can assist here in the sense that if you have a person who is not cooperating, they've met with the public health authorities, they've been told to maintain home isolation or wear a mask or whatever the appropriate medical advice is, and if they're not complying with that, public health authorities can go to court and get an isolation order and basically involve our judicial system in ordering that. It's rarely used, but it's an important power for public health professionals to have. And here again, the jurisdictional problems arise that you can typically get jurisdiction only on a county-by-county basis. So let's assume you've got a non-compliant patient. You've successfully gotten a court order in one jurisdiction, and that person has moved to another state, and you've got to start the process all over again.
Yeah, and along those lines, you recommended the supervised administration of medicine, you know, ensuring that, that people with tuberculosis take the medicine that they are prescribed.
That's the standard of care in the United States, directly observed therapy. So typically a public health professional is observing that patient take treatment, take the drugs over a course of many months. And that is the key both to healing the patient, but also to preventing further spread of the disease and hopefully preventing any further development of a drug-resistant variety.
Now, you've just been to a conference of professionals concerned with these public health issues. I'm curious, first of all, what their concerns are as they're talking to one another.
Well, the conference you're referring to is sponsored every year by the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission. And it is a tuberculosis consortium. It includes public health professionals from both the United States and Mexico, the states along the border, and they have and have had for a number of years a mutual interest in how best to control what we consider binational tuberculosis cases, persons living in the United States with contacts in Mexico or that travel. The problems that they try to address for continuity of care come about both because of the weaknesses that I've talked about in the United States side, that you have to go from county to county to jurisdiction to treat just a U.S. citizen patient. But then it's complicated when you have persons of different nationalities and different laws, immigration laws, and so forth. It really shouldn't be the case in either country that access to basic preventive health care for tuberculosis should depend upon one's citizenship status.
Polly Price, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Polly Price is a professor of law at Emory University in Atlanta. She recently wrote in the New York Times warning that we need to step up efforts to control tuberculosis. We've got a link to her op-ed at our website, knprnews.org.